WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
The mid-1980s saw an explosion of regional rock scenes across the United States, in unlikely places like Hoboken, New Jersey, Athens, Georgia, and Minneapolis. Naturally, there was also one in Austin, Texas, and our rock historian Ed Ward was there.
It was called the beach, and like a beach, it was a great place to spend a summer evening drinking beer and hanging out. It was a club in Austin, Texas in the mid-80s, a place people graduated to after the frenzy of punk seemed too much, and yet the idea of leaving rock and roll behind was inconceivable. It was also very close to the University of Texas campus, and so it gave birth to a remarkable music scene that few except those who were there remember. What happened at the beach was pretty typical of Austin music in those days before the city was on the national music map. It both did and didn't have links to what was going on in the outside world, and it was enough its own thing that the record business was completely puzzled by it. In fact, only one of its stars ever made it onto the national stage, and then only as a cult artist. Alejandro Escovedo had blown into town with the punk country band Rank and File and stayed when they left. Before long, he'd enlisted two other guitarists, his brother Javier and John D. Graham, who'd been with Austin punk pioneers The Skunks, and formed a band called The True Believers. With a three-guitar frontline that all wrote songs, too, they were formidable to watch. Once the chemistry between them was right, Alejandro, being a workaholic, put them on tour, not just around Texas, but nationally.
Load is heavy. Times are tough, I see women, don't have enough hard road. Hard road. Swan gets angry, Swan gets sad, Swan doesn't care about.
Jesse Sublett was the leader of the Skunks, who had broken up by this point, and in a rather bitter article in the Austin Chronicle, he inadvertently gave this scene a name. He'd meant the term New Sincerity as a put-down, but when you listen to the band that called itself Zeitgeist, it somehow seems appropriate. What happened to Zeitgeist was, sad to say, more typical of these bands. They signed to DB Records in Athens, Georgia, America's hottest rock city at the time because of REM. Almost ready to release their first album, Translate Slowly, Zeitgeist were hit with a lawsuit. An avant-garde performance ensemble in Minneapolis had copyrighted the name. So the band's leader, John Crossland, renamed them after his favorite William Faulkner novel, The Reavers. Although this first album was superb, the combination of an unfamiliar name, one many people couldn't pronounce, and the small label hobbled the band. It seemed like there was a new band every week for a while. A boyish-looking law student named Mike Hall held parties at his house where he and some of his friends would fool around with guitars, and one day they metamorphosed into a band, the Wild Seeds. They wound up with a record deal and toured too, and because Mike was also a journalist and has a stunning way with words, they became critics' favorites, always the kiss of death. Still, they're remembered by many for their affectionate hard rock parody, I'm Sorry, I Can't Rock You All Night Long, an experience both new and sincere for a lot of their crowd. There were others, Doctor's Mob, whose motto was show up drunk, show up late, or don't show up at all, which made them sort of the local equivalent of the Replacements, but without the nastiness. Timbuk3 made it from busking on the streets to a top 20 single after MTV filmed a special in Austin, and Daniel Johnston, a very strange young man, also became a cult figure. The oddest, least categorizable, and downright weirdest band of this era was Glass Eye.
Touchdown, single pain, it's a punchdown, you're doing it again. Stand in the corner cause you're doing it again, the good book. Promise says that the rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight. The crooked places may be made straight, but the heart longs for the crooked place.
I've always thought that if Glass Eye had made it to Europe, they'd still be going, but perhaps the four personalities whose creative tension made such unique music would have made that impossible. Brian Beatty's lead bass work and Kathy McCarty's haunted singing, propelled by Scott Marcus's drum explosions and Stella Weir's odd impassivity behind her keyboards, kept plenty of people watching, though. Eventually, as all scenes do, this one disappeared. The club, The Beach, closed after some weirdness, but by then these bands were being booked all over Austin when they weren't on tour. But families, a lot of these bands were sexually integrated, and careers lured many away, while others collapsed under the weight of record company failures. Many of the bands never even recorded, and those who did have been long out of print. But for those of us who saw this come and go, we'll never forget it. Maybe the same thing happened where you spent the mid-'80s.
Ed Ward lives in Berlin.